Oh, hey, welcome to the Single and Sewing Podcast. I'm your host, once Leah, and I'm glad that you're here. Now, before you go anywhere or try to figure out what's happening, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for who you are. Thank you for each and every episode, oh God, that is released from this platform, oh God. I pray that I decrease and you increase, oh God. I pray, oh God, that episode from this platform, oh God, will be a blessing, oh God, to your people, oh God, to the source, oh God, to the listeners, oh God. Father, I pray, oh God, that you, the people that you've already, oh God, cultivated for this space, oh God, will reach this space, oh God. I pray, oh Lord Jesus, oh God, that people will just be blessed and lives will be transformed, oh God. Have your way and take your place, oh God, because I know you're the King of glory, oh God. I know you're the King of kings and Lord of lords, and that there is no one like you and none can be compared to you, oh God. Thank you. Amen. Now let's get into it. Alright, people, welcome back. This is our first episode together. I know you got a trailer and everything, and I'm so grateful that you guys stuck around. And I know the Lord is moving. Thank you all for the support. Man, I hope you've been enjoying. But yes, wow, it's a new month. Okay, we have May 1st. How amazing it is to be alive, right? To be moving. Please pardon my voice. The enemy is trying to be tricky on my health, but I rebuke him in the mighty name of Jesus, because that's what we do here. We rebuke. We come against the enemy plans, the scheme of the enemy, and we trust Jesus because he's able. Wow, that's a great way to start the episode. All right, so we are going to be, so there will be a series, all right? This is how the podcast is set up. This will be a series. So for the month of May, we'll be talking about purpose and singleness. And on that, we will actually be covering different topics on that will be tied to that, right? So our first episode that goes with the series, purpose and singleness, is Who Am I Without the Ring? Right? That's the episode. Now you already know what the title of the episode is. Remember again, this is a space for you who's a Christian single, right? You're done around waiting, you know, and you just want to live for Christ now. I just want to reiterate that for you to know, like, what our goal, what our mission, our purpose is, for why the podcast exists in the first place. And if you haven't listened to the introduction, like the trailer, like, please go ahead and do so, because it'll kind of give you an idea. Hopefully I did a great job on there. By the end of the day, it's all about God's glory and his approval. But I'm grateful for yours as well, you know. But yeah, I'm your host, you know, once Leah. Once again, I'm a speaker, I'm a coach, I'm a disciple. I'm also a discipler, and I'm a sister, you know, in Christ, right? I'm walking the walk just as you. And you know, like I said, this is a space not figure out. It's not like I have everything figured out, but I know what it's like to wrestle with hard questions, because that's something we all deal with. Like, who am I? Who am I without all of these baggage and these things that the society is telling me that I am, right? Who am I with all of these things? Because I've wrestled with that. I felt stuck in between, you know, that space where if it feels like, oh, this is fate. And then you're also, then there's frustration, right? The two F, fate and frustration. And, you know, and you just like wonder, like, who am, you know, who am I? Like, think about that again. Who am I? If I'm not a wife, if I'm not a husband, if I'm still waiting, ta-da, right? Who am I? Who am I in Jesus? Like, I think that's a great question. That's a great way to start. And just know that this space is for you, for us to talk. And today we're actually going to go there. We'll talk about identity. Because I think when we talk about who am I, we're talking about identity. Let's deal with the root cause, right? Who am I? Identity. All right. Now, for transparency, because one of the things that I asked the Lord is, God, let me be vulnerable and transparent with people, so that way there's some level of relatability. So I'm not just talking out of like, oh yeah, this is it. No, this is real thing. This is something I've walked through, and this is something I'm still walking through as a woman who loves the Lord, and also too as someone also too who have had instances where I'm like, you know, walking away from the Lord. Not intentionally, maybe subconsciously, my brain just like switched. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done with this. But I don't think I've had that moment before. Maybe we'll talk about that too. But to be honest, let me be honest. Honestly, for years, I'm not going to lie to y'all, I did not know who I was. I know people see me and said, man, Wansley is very confident. And she has confidence. She knows her stuff. It took work. It took trust in the Lord, trust in the Holy Spirit. It took God doing his work in me, right? I never knew who I was. Not really at all. And also, too, I think the household that I grew up in kind of contributed to that. Okay, one of the things I knew how to do best, right? I knew how to serve. I actually knew how to perform. I knew how to, you know, please people. You know that people-pleasing thing that we do? I knew how to please people and everything. So I knew how to perform, please people, and serve. But if you ask me, like, to sit down with myself and to name who I was without the labels, without my role, without my relationship, I would freeze. I did freeze if you asked me those questions. So that was something, you know, that was like a confusion that ran deep. I didn't know existed till the work started happening, like legit happening, right? And I think it's been over the years that the Lord has been dealing with me and unveiling those things to me that, no, there's a deeper cause and root here that needs to be addressed. And I had that because, and another thing too, I think that also contributed, that stemmed from my childhood. I was abused. So there was a childhood wound that was still open that needed to be dealt with. Abused as a child. And because I thought, you know, love was everything you earn, you know, everything. It's something that you have to earn, right? You have to earn it by being chosen, you know, instead of like something that you receive, you already receive because God has already called you, you know, to it. Like, I didn't know call you, right? I didn't know that much. And, you know, if you're in an African household, African Christianity is just interesting. That's what I would say. We could talk about that as well. So that's something I deal with. So I started placing my identity in what others said and how people treated me and what I accomplished and eventually who I could be for someone else. So literally living my life based on what other people was telling me, based on what people would say, based on the validation, based on the accolades and the accomplishment, the labels that came with it. And that became draining, okay? That became very draining because imagine living your life for someone else, right? You don't even know who you are because it's like you just running here, head to scatter and stuff like that. And maybe I would say out of a good place because I like to serve naturally. I'm someone who likes to serve. I always tell people it's better to serve than to be served. And that's something that I've learned, being the space to serve. But then, you know, one of the things that the enemy can do, he can actually twist the good things and try to manipulate it, right? And it falls into that whole people pleasing and all of those things. So, but here's what I've learned, okay? And what I want to tell you today. I said all that to say that I've been through that thing. I've dealt with that. I've dealt with the shame. I've dealt with like wanting to be chosen, wanting to be picked, wanting to be loved, wanting to be appreciated by people. But today I'm here to tell you that you are not who left you. I will tell you, I also have father wounds as well too. And my dad, the only time I can say my dad and I like, as a kid, right? Maybe four or five-ish was maybe a year together, if I'm not mistaken. So, and then I grew up, right? And I also too, that's contribution to civil war and things like that, right? And then my mom, you know, traveled. So there was a lot of things there. There was a lot of gaps. And then living with people, so you don't even get to know who you are, because if you live with this other person, they have a different way of doing things. You live with this other person, they have a different way of doing things. So your identity is kind of like mixed up in the middle because you're taking things from here and there. But I've learned that you're not who left you. So if your dad left you, if your mom left you, your husband left you, or you feel right now you're single and you feel like you've been left behind. No, you're not. You are not. You are not what happened to you. I also had to learn that the person that took advantage of me as a 5-year-old young woman, you know, girl, right? I am, you know, that what happened to me like I'm not what happened to me. For a long time, I carried shame because I was like, I didn't even like my body, honestly, because it felt so dirty to me that because of that, I just felt so unprotected. So I felt dirty, right? And I will overshower, like people, I will overshower because I just felt, ugh, that type of situation, that led to my adulthood and stuff. And that, thank God for therapy, for equipping people who went to school to actually help us, biblical therapies, that I have a biblical therapist, okay? Not just any therapist, because there's some very interesting people out there teaching you different things and the metaphor. I don't want to get into that. So yeah, so you are not what happened to you. So if you've been, you're not what happened to you. Honestly, let's just say pin blank period. You're not what happened to you. You are not who left you. If you're that, people who left you, you're not that. And you are not defined by what you still are waiting for. So for people who say, like, well, you know, I'm waiting for my husband. And that's the reality. There are people, like, they just want to be a wife. They just want to be a wife. But I want to tell you that you're not defined by that. And there are some people who are waiting for their child, like that daughter, that son, right? You are not what you're waiting for. You know, you are not defined by what you're waiting for. You are not. I just want to make that clear. What you are, though, is who God says you are. And one of the things that the Lord has already spoken and has already been established is that you are His, not anyone else, not the what you're waiting for, not what happened to me years ago, over about 25 years ago, right? Not what happened to me, right? Not who left me, not because my dad left, you know, for a long time till my teenage years, and then we connected again, but I love my dad. I know he's late now. But yeah, you are not all of those holes and those things that are left, you know, and you're wondering, you are not those things. And those things happen not because you are someone that is rejected, that people, you are not loved, because God is love and He loves you. Because of His love, we have His Son, Jesus Christ, come on planet Earth as fully man and fully God and walk through this earth, like this earth that we're on. Jesus walked this earth, right? Fully man, fully God. And even though He knew that we're not going to choose Him, He chose us first. That's how much powerful the love of God is. That's how much action, that love is a verb, right? That's how much He loves us. That's how much He sees us, that He would send His only begotten Son, that whosoever, remember I didn't say people already believe in it, this is future thing. He did it knowing that we also have the free will to choose. So He's already chosen you. The cross is empty. The grave is also empty. All right. So you are His. I once lived here. I am God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. You are nothing less than that. And if the enemy tried to tell you that, we need to combat it with the word of God. Okay. And a couple of scriptures, I would say foundational scripture that has helped me and continue to help me. There are a lot of scriptures, but a couple of scriptures that I also want to reference as you are navigating this season, this time in your life, is that it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that talks about, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So that's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And I want to remind you that for you who's listening, Esther, Ken, whoever is listening to me, John, Peter, yes, right. You are God's masterpiece. You are His workmanship, right? Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, right? Which God prepared in advance. So remember, it's already been prepared in advance, right? So the good work has already been prepared in advance. So you're trying to figure out what am I supposed to do? What's my purpose? Who am I? Those things has already been done, established in advance for you. So in order to know what it is, you go to the Lord. Go to the Lord as your source. And then you are not, like, you weren't made. One of the things I want to point out is that when God is talking about workmanship, it should just tell you that you weren't just made. You were actually handcrafted for purpose. That's what you think about the good works in advance. Like, you were literally handcrafted for purpose, right? And then I also want to bring your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We always say this scriptures aloud, but I don't know if we take it in and believe it. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, you know, usually another version would say, therefore now. But this version is saying, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So God is already telling you. God told me, ushering me into my new, you know, identity. What happened to me? It wasn't my identity. It was the tactics of the enemy. This just shows you how, you know, the world is and who God is, right? So my new identity, God is ushering you into that space. If you're in that space or trying to figure out who you are without a ring, God is saying, therefore, if anyone, he didn't say some, he said anyone. So this thing he's asking you to come into is anyone who is in Christ, anyone in Christ Jesus, right? If anyone is in Christ Jesus, right? There are a new creation. The old has passed away and behold, the new has come. Now, this is your new season, meaning this is a season to move. This is a season to trust God and know that he's working, he's moving. Whatever it is, right? Please do not tie the things that are not happening and to your identity. You are not those things. You are not your waiting season. You are not. You are who God says you are. And God is reminding you in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if you are in Christ Jesus, that you are a new creation, that the old you has passed away, and behold, the new you has come. So you are the new you, the new Wansley has come, the new you that I'm talking to, who's listening to this podcast. You are there. That's the new you. And then you are not your past. I want to reemphasize that because the enemy will try to tell you, well, you're your past. You did all of those things. You know, you slept around. You did these things. You are a single mom. You know, no, you're not your past. You are now your past, or you're in a season right now and you're trusting the Lord for a kid and you feel like, man, I wish I didn't do all of these things. Maybe that's why I'm not having a kid. You are now your past. The Lord is saying, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. So you are not what you did even a few seconds ago. You are not that. If you're in Christ Jesus, those things have been passed. It's gone. God don't remember it. Okay, your new creation. So you have a new slate, new beginning, because his mercies are new every morning. And then you are not your past, you are not your mistake, and you are a new creation. You are not your mistake. I want to reemphasize that. And another verse that I want to bring to your attention, and this, I love this one because I've actually been doing study on it. I've been listening to it and studying on it. And this is the book of Colossians, right? I really like the book of Colossians. I was actually overlooking it, but it's been very fruitful for me, like as I'm walking with the Lord. And it's Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. It reads, I'm just going to give you a short version. It says, you are complete in him. So one of the things you need to know, if you want to know who you are complete in Christ Jesus. You are complete in him. You live and move and have your being in him. So you are complete in him. You are not lacking. You're not lacking. You are not halfway. You're not a half person. You're whole. You're already whole, right? Because of Jesus. Nothing about you is half. Nothing about you is lacking. Everything about you is complete in him, Christ Jesus, says the book of Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. So I want to remind you of that, because sometimes the enemy will try to tell you, well, but you're not this. No. Backward, that is back pedal, okay? Devil, no. God says in his word, which is his breath, which would not pass away, says, I am complete in him. Says, if I'm in him, I'm a new creation, right? My past is my past, and he's ushering me into something new, into him. That's where my identity lies. For we are God's. I was created, purposefully created in Jesus Christ to do good works. So I'm going to do good works. I'm not going to be sitting around waiting to be married, waiting to have a kid, waiting to have a relationship status. I'm going to stand on the word of God. Okay, I feel like I'm getting fired up, but I'm just excited about this because this is something I had to tell myself before I'm releasing this. Is because the Lord has dealt with me when it comes to shame in my past, because the enemy will pop those things up. Meaning if you dealt with some addiction and things like that, the enemy will start telling you, oh, but you did this, but you did that, but you, no, that's not my identity. My identity, I had to keep reminding myself. And if you have to write this scripture on the post, on like a sticky note on your wall, on your phone, like maybe screenshot it and put it there and try to remind yourself that, I would encourage you to do that. I would encourage you to do that. Okay. Most people, I would say this, couple of things. Another thing I want to mention is that the pitfall of, you know, external validation, because there we like the validations of people, like that external validation, which is, it's, you know, it's not a bad thing to get validation from a lot of people. But when it start becoming an idol, like you idolize those things, like you want it, you yearn for it, it becomes an idol, it becomes a problem, then you're struggling, and then it's messing with your identity and your relationship with Christ Jesus and how you see God, right? Because most people, and especially single people like me, because I'm speaking to my single brothers and sisters, right? We don't even realize that we are tying our identity to something fragile. Like, we don't even realize that. Like, subconsciously, it's just like, yeah. For example, a couple of things. Like, we define ourselves by, like, who like us. That one is real. When that person that you know, you like and then like you, oh, my God, you define yourself by that. Like, that's it. What job we have, that's another thing that we do. What job we have, we identify ourselves, we, you know, we tie our identity to that, the job that we have. What season we're in, like I mentioned, like you know, we identify that depending on what space you're in, you start making your identity as that, and that's a dangerous place to be, right? How, you know, there are different things that we do. Like, there are different things that we do, how we compare ourselves to others. Like, comparison is the thief of joy. I'm telling you this because it is real. Comparison is the thief of joy. I'll give you a story. I remember I was in school, and I remember coming home with a B. I think it was a B plus, and I was excited because I was struggling in this class, okay? And then I went and told my mom, I said, hey, you know, I'm struggling with this class, because I kept on telling her, you know, adjusting to the school system and getting integrated into what's happening. You know, the American school system is totally different from the Liberian school system. And mind you, I went to school in different countries too. So it's different. I got a different style from different people. So getting into this space, and then they're speaking, I call it series. And then my Liberian people understand this part. I'm struggling. They're struggling to even pronounce my name. And I'm struggling to understand if they even call my name in school, right? And I came out and I said that, oh, I got a B plus in this class. You know, you get progress report. This was high school. I came to my mom and I said, yeah. And then one thing my mom said, she literally stole away my job, the jaw that I had. It just, ugh. She said, your brother had A plus in that class. What are you doing getting a B plus? I was like, what? It really kills my joy. It hurt my feelings. It hurt my feelings. I wanted a validation from my mom so bad, and she didn't give me that. Instead, crush it. Crush it. And I felt rejected. I felt unloved and everything. But reading the verses now, it's like, no, I shouldn't have even thought about, like, my validation shouldn't even be coming from my mom. My validation, now, granted, she's an earthly vessel that the Lord has used to bring me to this earth for his glory, right? And for the purpose that he's intended for. But I should be looking up to him, not my mom, for validation. So that hurt, the fact that I'm even talking about it, right? If you are, then think about it too. If you compare yourself with others, so that comparison is real. We sometimes shy away from it as believers. We say, well, I don't compare myself. No, you do compare yourself with other people. You know, meaning if you're scrolling. So that's why for me, one thing I do, I know how to take social media breaks. Okay. I do know how to take social media breaks. And even for the podcast, there are things that I just plan schedule so they automatically, you know, releases. For me, for my mental health. for my mental health is just important. One of the things that I did by obedience, the Holy Spirit said, I need you to delete your personal Instagram page. It was deleted. I don't have no Instagram, personal Instagram page. What you're going to get is just on the single and sewing platform. So for me, yeah, so it's real. I know maybe you're just like, no, Wancelia, no, I do not compare myself. Man, what? No way. I'm so perfect. Great for you. I'm happy for you. But I'm going to tell you, I've compared myself to others before. And that's a thief of joy because you stop appreciating the things that God is already doing presently in your life because you're so focused on what's happening in someone else's life instead of being thankful for them and just thankful for what and being content with what the Lord has given you and called you to. And that can even happen in the ministry setting as well. Because in gifts, the different gifts that people have, because you're like, well, man, I love that gift more. But do you know you have the gift of administration? You're doing great. People need you in that space. But because someone has a gift of prophecy, you want that so bad, you idolize them so bad that you forgot that you need, your gift is so important to the kingdom of God. Administration, your gift of exhortation is so important to the kingdom of God. Your gift of discernment is so important to the kingdom of God. But because it's not prophecy, it's not telling you something, that then it's like, no, I don't want this. No, sis, no, brother, you are called, you are gifted, and that comparison thing is stealing, it's chipping away your identity in Christ Jesus, and it's messing up with your relationship with him. So I just want to say that. So if your identity is built on stable grounds, it will always shake. I want to tell you that it will always shake. I feel like the Lord had to shake those things off of me. Right? Because I'm very ambitious. Like, I'm very, like, goal-oriented. I want to go get things and stuff. But the Holy Spirit had to humble me and lead me into all truth. You know how the scripture say, I will leave you, you know, the Spirit, and he will lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit has been leading me into all truth about those things. So that's been helping. I'm grateful for that. One of the things I wanted to share is, like, so that way you know what I'm saying, is that it's stacked base as well. Study shows that nearly 62% of people base their self-worth, right, on external approval. That's 62%. Did I say 68? No, 62% of people base their self-worth on external approval, especially through social media. We already know social media, a couple goals and go, and you know, you see event, you see people traveling, things like that. That social media, the relationship status as well, the eagerness to want to post your relationship status on social media for everybody to know, that is real. And that was done by Psychology Today in 2023. This is a stat from 2023. I don't know what that would look like in 2025, but yeah. And God's will cut us to, you know, to a different standard. And I know that something is hard for other people because it's like, you know, getting approval from people that you feel like love you is good. But what happens when that supersede the love that God has already called you into? Right now, you, if they don't do those things, then you feel some type of way. Then you're like, I'm not loved, I'm not appreciated. 62% of people base their self-worth on external approval. That is real. That is real. And I'm thinking about even this Gen Z population that we're, you know, millennial and Gen Z, everybody deal with it. Let me not just speak on Gen Z. Okay. Everybody is dealing with it as well. That self, that validation, thing is, so we've called to we've been called to a different standard and a deeper anchor. Our anchor is in Christ, and I just want to say that. Another thing I wanted to point out to is, as I'm having this conversation with you all, right, is that we need to start embracing, like, the God's view of us. The only way to combat that is to start embracing the view that God has for us. So, for example, you were chosen. Things to remember that you were chosen before a relationship. I'm valuable even before a platform, even before the Single and Sewing podcast platform. I'm valuable to God. God values me. That's why he handcrafted me, you know, for purpose, to do the good work, right? In the vents. So I want to remind you that you are chosen. And you were chosen before any relationship status, before any kid got into the, you know, before, you know, now that you're waiting for a kid to come into play, now that you're waiting for the job to happen, like, you were chosen already, whether the job or not, whether the title or not, whether nursing school or not, whether, you know, being a lawyer or not, whether being a pastor or not, what being called to ministry, doing ministry or not, you've already been chosen. Okay, you've already been chosen. You are valued before, you know, the platform that you want so bad. You've already been valued. That platform don't validate you. God has already validated you long, long time ago. Okay, and that was long, long, long ago. I just want to say that. And so another thing, and also this thing of whole, like you're whole in Christ Jesus. I just want to say that. Let me just take that in, because as I'm even saying it, I'm just like feeling the Holy Spirit, right? Like you are whole and you were whole before anyone else could validate it. Like you are whole in Jesus Christ. I want to leave. I am whole in Christ Jesus. And you who's listening to me, whether it's in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, or on your walk, you are whole in Christ Jesus. If God calls you his masterpiece, how dare you call yourself anything less? God, the creator of the universe, the creator of the heaven and the earth, right, calls you his masterpiece. If God is calling me his masterpiece, nothing else has authority more than the word that he's already spoken, because his word has so much weight. He spoke, let there be light. That should tell you the weight that the word of God, that God's word carries, right? And it also reflect his character and his nature. So if he created me and formed me and molded me, what? I would take that. And I trust the Lord, you know. So let that settle in. I just want you, you know, marinate on that. Think about that as you're listening. Take note, reflect, maybe have conversations with your peers, your friends. You're not waiting to be loved. I just want to also add that you're not waiting to be loved. Once Leah Tia is not waiting to be loved. Okay. Ayo Mide Fajimi, you are not waiting to be loved. All right. Whitney, you're not waiting to be loved. Mudia, you're not waiting to be loved. Okay. Demi Lola, you're not waiting to be loved. Okay. James, you're not waiting to be loved. Precious, you're not waiting to be loved. Okay. Mwanga, you're not waiting to be loved. You're already loved by Christ Jesus. No matter what season you think you're in, you're not waiting for anything. You are loved, you are appreciated, you are protected, you are seen by God. You are not your past. You are not what happened to you. Okay? You are not what happened to you. You are not what didn't show up. You are not the thing that left you. You are who God says you are. And he says you are his masterpiece. And I want you to know that today, that you are loved by God and you are appreciated and you are covered by him. Right? And you're becoming who you are. And Teresa, you are who God says you are. You are not waiting for love. You're not waiting for validation. You are covered by the blood of the Lamb. You are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Look at me. I want to sing now to that. Yes, we are not. We are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Okay. We are not waiting. We're not settling. And I just want to, practical things that I want to share with you guys is steps in terms of as we're navigating this conversation and talking about identity, because I know I might not have even done justice to this topic, but is that meditating on the scriptures. Like, just don't read the verse, like study it, meditate on it, you know, meditate on it day and night, right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, right? By the renewing of your mind, there's renewal that needs to take place. So meditating on it and just not reading it, like, let me just read it and check it off. But like, even if you put it in your post, you know, on your mirror, in your bathroom or on your phone, just meditate on it. Take time. Look at it. Meditate on it. God, this is your word. Sit in it. Like, don't just rush out of it. Like, sit in it. Let the word of God undo some of the lies you've believed. The word of God has been undoing a lot of things that I believe. Honestly, trust me, I'm about to be, this year is 30 for me. So think about it. You know, you have all these plans. Yeah, I want to be married and stuff like that. And you getting visions and dreams of people telling, yeah, this is your season and all of that. I had to come back to the center. Those things are great. I'm grateful because I love the people who are speaking into my life and the way God is revealing things to them. Even my little sister having dreams here and there. But I had to come back to the center, my anchor. right? That's my anchor. What is my intention? Sitting on the word of God. That even without marriage in the picture, who am I in Christ? Well, I want to sit with the Lord. I want to be in that secret place. I want to be in that place that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, going down. And it talks about, as a married person, that my singleness is a gift. How can I love on Jesus? How can I appreciate my, like, where I am now before even trying to rush into that? Like, let me not make that an idol. I felt like that was becoming an idol. Okay. And I'm being transparent. Marriage was becoming an idol. Okay. And now it's like, no, I'm back to the center stage, back with the Lord in that secret place, loving on Him, letting Him show me His ways, His will for my life, and just walking in where He's ordering my steps. I'm telling you, it's real. It is real, because I can't sit here and lie to you and tell you, like, oh my God, I haven't thought about that before. You know, this year is 30, okay? And I haven't thought about the pressures from society, the pressures from, you know, not things that are done intentionally, but things that are said unintentionally. And there's that. And if your identity is rooted in those things, those validation, you end up losing the whole point of why Jesus died on the cross and why He came for you, why you were chosen. So sit in it. Let the word of God undo some of the lies, because it's undoing a lot of the lies, okay? In me and through me, right? And then just I would say practice His presence, like be in His presence. I think practicing, you know, people talk about, yeah, in His presence and stuff. It's not just posting something on social media, opening the Bible and being, you know, have a nice cozy music. Those things are great. Those are content, you know, that can be encouraging, but like, it's not, every day is not like that. Okay. So practicing how to be in the presence of the Lord is so key in this journey. It is so key. And I would say, if you have to journal, then journal. I know my friend started a journey, you know, what she's taking 1 mile. I'll probably talk about it through, but I want to say that's another thing too. You can get, like, maybe praying, journaling, praying, like taking walks, you know, and talking with the Lord daily. I like taking walks. I love taking walks. I love nature, right? So if you have to take walks, ask the Lord, man, if you think about the conversation I'd be having with the Holy Spirit, it'd be real. It'd be real. There's no, dear Heavenly Father, King of glory, don't mind me, I would pray, but like, I'm like, God, what, like, I'm asking Him, like, God, what do You say about me today? Like, let's talk about today. I'm not talking about tomorrow, the day after. Let's talk about the present. I want to be in the present with Him, the today, the now, with Him, not what is tomorrow. Let me know, Lord, what am I doing now? What do You say about me now, today? What is going on today that I'm not aware of? Please help me, right? Those are questions you can, you know, start with, right? And then also too, I say surround yourself with truth tellers. Like surround yourself with people that will tell you the truth. One of the things I know, I have friends and people that can tell me the truth, that will tell me the truth, and I will take it in. I'm somebody who reflects. Like, I have a conversation with you, I will reflect on that. I don't just put it, even if it's somebody that I'm not close to, they're not like friend type of thing, I would still take that conversation and reflect and see, like, okay, Lord, why? There was a reason why I encountered this person, and there was a reason why this conversation happened. How can I? What am I supposed to learn here, Lord? Let me not just push it away because, you know, they're not my friend that I can go in the closet with and pray. There might be something. There might be a message. And if it's not from God, He's also going to reveal that. That's where you ask questions. That's where you're in His presence. That's where you surround yourself with truth tellers, right? But we know who tells the most truth. It's Christ Jesus. He sits on the throne. So if I go to Him, He will tell me. The Holy Spirit is there to lead me into all truth. Sometimes we think we activate and turn off the Holy Spirit. No, He's always there, right? He's the Father. Remember, it's Father, Son, Blessed, Holy Spirit, 3 in 1. Okay, so this is not, well, I turn this off, I like going to the Father first. No, they are 3 in 1. They all work together for the good of, you know, those that believe and love the Lord. Just want to say that, friends, just to remind you of who you are, like, don't, when you forget, like, I got people who remind me, like, no, you are who God says you are. some of the hardest seasons in my life, my friends were the ones who spoke into my life, right? And helped me, remind me that, no, you are who God says you are. You are not that. You're thinking that, but that's not what it is. That's the plot of the enemy. So I'm grateful for that as well. And then just, you know, I would say close open doors to shame, right? There are some doors that we have open wide. And subconsciously, we're just so comfortable with it. And those doors need to be closed. We need to close that door to shame. That thing that is telling you that, oh, you like watching porn. And now you're trying to say you want to do what? No, that is who you are. No, you're not that person who used to watch porn, who used to masturbate, like masturbation and stuff. You're not that person. You are not. That's your past. And the enemy will try to bring it around and tell you this is who you are. You are not. You are anchored in Christ Jesus. Close that door to that that door that God is telling you close. You still entertaining that and say, well, let me do that. Let me see what it is. Close that door. Close that door. Oh, because you want to be in a relationship so bad and you start talking to somebody who is contrary to the word of God. And just because, yeah, but you know, we're not doing projects over here. Okay. This is not, we are loving the Lord and trusting in whatever it is without trying to, you know, mix stuff. And then we end up getting hurt. And then we start saying, Lord, you didn't do this. No, you just didn't listen. All right. We're closing that door. Okay. And then name some of the wounds that we have. Like I already told you, I have father wounds that I'm still going through. And then just bring them into light. Sometimes we hide those things because we're believers and we don't want people to know. I'm an open book. I tell people I'm an open book because I love Jesus. I tell you, I live for the audience of one. It's better I be condemned by the world and stand with God than be condemned by God. And stand with the word. There's no way that's going to happen in this, my lifetime, this life that God has given me. I'm going to stand with God at all times, no matter what, whether cancel culture or no culture. I love Jesus because he loves me first. So I'm going to stand with him because he has more. He's the authority. Okay. Just want to say that. And then just like walking freedom, like just walking freedom. You are free in Jesus' name. You are free. In Jesus' name. And then before I end this episode, I just also want to leave you with an affirmation that you can say to yourself. And that would be like, I'm not behind. I'm not half, because we talked about that. I'm whole in Jesus Christ. My identity is secure. I once lived. My identity is secure. You, Ayo, your identity is secure. You, Whitney, your identity is secure. You, Teresa, your identity is secure. I'm just giving out names. Like each and every one of you, your identity is secure in Christ Jesus, right? Your value is rooted in him. It's secure in him, right? You are sore, right? You are sore. You are a sore. You are a sore like today, not someday, but today. Okay. You're sore. But yeah, I feel like I've been talking at you a lot. And if you like, I came in hot, but I hope this episode was something that blesses you. If you can take anything from this episode, I would say is that hopefully you take that you are not overlooked, that you are not unfinished, that you are not behind, but also, and just remember that you are chosen, you are seen. That Elroy, the God that saw Hagar, Elroy, the God that sees, the God that says that you are enough in Christ Jesus. So stop shrinking to feel love, because we do that a lot. I think that will be a continuation of this conversation. Stop shrinking. Just a few love by people. No, stop that. And start soaring. Start soaring Christ Jesus. Start soaring Christ Jesus, because you are rooted in truth already. You don't need all of those things, okay? But I'm happy that you stuck with me, though. I'm happy. As you know, I'm your host, Wonsalia, and this has been beautiful talking. And I can't wait for us to get into our next episode later. But before I close it, you know what we're going to do. We're going to say a prayer. All right, let us bow. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you for today's episode. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the listeners. Father, I pray, oh God, that there will be a breakthrough after this episode is listened to. I pray for your covering. I pray, oh Lord Jesus, that people will be blessed and that people will come to know you and know who they are in Jesus Christ without a ring, without a baby, without a husband, without a wife, without that job, Lord Jesus, that they know that you're in their anchor is in you, Jesus, because you've already said it and because you've already done it. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Until next time, just stay grounded, stay wise, and I always stay soaring. Bye.